title I've given today's message is God Challenges Us with His Character. Before we look at the passage, a short recap. Jonah had been sent as one of God's people to a foreign city called Nineveh, which is the capital of Assyria, a rising superpower. And this superpower would eventually wipe most of Israel off the map. But God is gracious, and he gives them 40 days to repent. So God always gives time to change to people. There's a picture of Nineveh, or what they think it looked like. Tony mentioned last week, if you remember, in the British Museum, if you go to the British Museum, there are some sculptures from the Assyrian Empire, showing the kind of things they did. So we know they really did exist, and they were pretty cruel. In that picture there, on the left, got them executing people. The picture on the right, it was found hanging next to a dartboard in a public school in Dorset. Students thought it was a replica, and they were throwing darts at the dartboard, and one of the darts actually went into it. But it's actually 3,000 years old. And when they got it valued, it was worth £7.7 million. So be careful what you hang next to dartboards. Now, God, however, relented. Although Jonah said, 40 days and you will be overthrown, God relented and showed mercy. Now, isn't that also a great encouragement to us that God is willing to even forgive people like that, the Ninevites? So again, in your own life, if you sin or for people you pray for, God is willing to forgive them. You know, God's heart is far bigger than we think. And also remember that in the Bible, a lot of the characters are real rotters. You know, Moses was a murderer. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Paul was a persecutor. The Ninevites were awful. And yet, God saved them and forgave them. So God is a God of grace. I want to encourage you, if you've got someone you're despairing of, or even yourself, that God is wonderful and full of grace. Now, Jonah's going to discover, rather grumpily, against his will, something of the character of God. And he will discover that God is a God of grace. Now, grace, to explain it, is simply a free given gift that you don't deserve. A little bit like my parents once bought me a car. I couldn't afford it. I was just given it. Complete gift. Grace. I didn't deserve it. Especially the way I behave sometimes to my parents when I was younger. Mercy. A God of mercy. What does mercy mean? Well, mercy means you don't get the punishment you deserve to get. So you get a gift, what you don't deserve to earn, and you don't get the punishment that you deserve to get. And then compassion. Compassion is not just feeling sorry for someone, although it is feeling pity and concern. Compassion is also being willing to take the punishment in their place. It's being willing to take the punishment instead of them. Now, God, however, needs to wake up Jonah to his character. And he takes Jonah through three stages in this passage. And the first stage happens in the first four verses. In the first four verses, Jonah has to learn to accept this character of God. Now, Jonah is a bit of a grumpy so-and-so in this story. He doesn't want God to show grace to God's enemies. He wants them to get what they deserve. He refuses to forgive enemies. He refuses to love enemies. He refuses to pray for enemies. He feels no compassion for those who are unsaved, lost, and far away from God. He doesn't want to share the good news with them. I don't want God to show grace to them. I don't want them to repent. I want them to be destroyed. That was his attitude. I want Nineveh destroyed. He despised those who are different to himself. Those who are not the elite people of God, you know, those who are not Israel, he kind of looked down on them. He says, well, why should God bother with them? Now, before you get comfortable and think, oh, well, isn't Jonah awful? You have to understand Jonah is meant to be a mirror for us to look into. It's there for a reason. It's there to challenge us. We, even Christians, can sometimes be a little bit like Jonah. A little bit of Jonah sometimes exists within us. I would say sometimes the Jonah syndrome is alive and kicking, even in us. Now, we have the Holy Spirit. We're different to Old Testament people. We've got the Holy Spirit. We love Jesus. We should be different. But there will sometimes be vestiges or leftovers of Jonah-type behaviour. So I hope you don't get too comfortable sitting there thinking, oh, well, Jonah, he was horrible, but I'm Because we can all be a little bit like Jonah from time to time. And this story is designed to challenge us. Now, why did he get angry? There's lots of possible reasons, which we won't bore you with. Just a few possibilities, I'll just say one or two. He may have been slightly feeling embarrassed that God didn't zap them. You know, he's been saying 40 more days, and then he feels a bit of a fool. God hasn't done what he said he was going to do. He may also have worried that the Assyrians might think God is impotent, God is weak, God cannot destroy. Look, he's threatened and he hasn't done it. So God, their God, God of Israel, is a wuss or a wimp. He may have thought that. There are other possible reasons, though, why Jonah got so angry. Maybe it was because, you see, Assyria was a growing threat. It was a threat to Israel. It was a growing superpower. And it would have made a lot of sense politically if God just wiped them out, because Jonah was getting concerned. Look, this Assyrian, strong, evil nation could attack us one day. So, God, get rid of them. But God doesn't. It's a bit like if you were a Jewish person in Poland in 1939 or 38. And you knew about Nazi Germany. There's a picture on the screen there. Rising up. Would you not have thought, well, it'd be a good job if they were judged and got rid of? But God doesn't. God leaves this nation. So maybe that frustrated him. Maybe he was very proud and elite as well, and didn't want God to show mercy to such people. You know, he thought of himself as an elite Israelite, a special people. A bit like the English can sometimes do. Now, I'm aware that there are some people in this room today who are not English. So I want to qualify, I don't agree with this song you're about to look at. Because I've got Dutch people here, we've got South Africans, and I don't know where else you come from. But, you know, there is a song that the English sometimes sing, done by, is it Sanders and, I can't remember the names of the singers, but there we go. The English, the English, the English are best. I wouldn't give tuppence for all the rest. I don't know if you know that song. But you know, that was Jonah's attitude, perhaps. But you know, the real root cause of why Jonah was so angry, behind all his reasons, the real root cause was because he didn't have a right picture of God's character. That's the basic reason. He thought God was different. Now, sin is when you don't let God be God. That is what sin is. Sin is when you have, you sort of attack God's character. At the root of all sin is when you say, I don't believe in this God and what he's like. You fail to hold a view of God's character as he truly is. That's the big battle that Jonah has. And so what does he do? He prays to God. At least he got that right. Jonah got that right. You know, he had it out with God. And I want to tell you, if you get stressed and angry with God, do you know the best thing you can do is pray to him. Because it says in verse 2 there, he prayed to the Lord. You know, don't bottle it up. Pour it out. God knows what you're thinking anyway. And if you do pour it out, he'll start to teach you. Have you ever been angry with God? I've told you before about a woman I knew or knew of who got so angry with God she swore at him. But after that, she was healed. I don't recommend that as a practice. But you know, you can be completely honest with God. And so he doesn't bottle it up and God begins to teach him. Now, this is what he says in his prayer. Words to this effect. He said, typical. I knew you would do it. Forgiving wicked people. Why did you bring me to this wretched place? And then through clenched teeth, in an angry voice, I think he read out this scripture, or quoted this scripture, which is a very, very, very famous verse to anyone from Israel. It goes like this. It's a paraphrase, but it says, I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. That verse is meant to be read in a happy voice. You're meant to read it, but you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. But I think Jonah read it in a, like this. He read it, I knew you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending the calamity. You know, it makes a whole difference how you read it, doesn't it? I mean, if you read that banner over there, for God so loved the world, you're supposed to read it in a happy voice. But if you read it in a grumpy voice, it would change the meaning. For God so loved the world, gave his only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You can imagine. Jonah was a grumpy old sausage. Sometimes we can be, too. I know I've asked my wife, I have occasionally fallen into this. But this verse, you see, I want to explain, this verse is like the national anthem to Jewish people. It's like John 3:16 in the Old Testament. It's a big, big verse. And this is when God appeared to Moses on the Mount Sinai. And Moses said to God, show me your glory. And God said, I can't because you'll die. He said, but I'll tell you what I'm like. I'll show you my character. I'll speak to you. And he put Moses in a cave. So he couldn't see God in the dark. And then God passed by and declared his name and his character. And what God said, he said these words, "You're gracious. I'm a gracious, compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, the God who relents for sending calamity." Now, that verse appears in Exodus 34, if you want to find where it is. But it also crops up all over the Old Testament. It crops up in Joel, Psalms, in Numbers, in Nehemiah, it crops up again and again and again. God is repeating to us what he is like because we need it drummed in. But Jonah doesn't quote the whole verse because if you read the whole verse originally on Mount Sinai, God then talks about judging people as well because God isn't just a softie. He will judge. God does judge. He doesn't leave the guilty unpunished, it says. But God's preference is always, always mercy. Now, Jonah doesn't quote the second half. He focuses on this bit here, because he doesn't like this bit. He doesn't like a God who's like this. He's complaining about the love of God. God, you're too soft on these people. So what do these words mean? What does gracious mean? Well, it just simply means like grace. Gives what is not deserved as a gift. What does compassionate mean? Well, I already said, didn't I, earlier? Compassionate means, yeah, feel sorry for them, but also, well, it's got this hidden meaning of sort of taking the blame for you, taking the punishment instead of you. That's the kind of God he is, by nature, by character. Isn't it wonderful? I'm reminded of a story of two brothers. One was an older brother who, when he was at school, he had all these burnt hands. He had scalded hands with blisters on. And all the kids took the mickey out of this older brother. Look at your hands, they're disgusting. And his younger brother got very embarrassed. And his younger brother was very ashamed when he tried to not be seen with his older brother because they would always mock his older brother for having these horribly deformed hands. And then one day, the mother explained to the younger brother why his older brother had burnt hands. And the reason is that when the younger brother was little, he wanted to reach a saucepan full of boiling water. And he put his little hand up and his brother went in and took it for him to stop his little brother from being punished or hurt, if you like. And he took it to the sink and poured it out. And then all over his own hands, for the rest of his life, he had these burnt scars. And after that, the younger brother, he loved his brother's hands. And he was pleased and proud of them. Now, our older brother on the cross took what we should have been punished with. He suffered in our place instead of us. That is the meaning of compassion. It isn't just feeling emotional about someone. Okay, Slow to anger. God is slow to anger. That doesn't mean he can't get angry. God can get angry, but he's got a long, long fuse. He doesn't fly off the handle. Very patient. He's abounding in love. What does that mean? Well, a nice picture, I think, of abounding is a picture of a waterfall. You know, like Niagara Falls. Have you ever, I don't know if any of you have been to Niagara Falls. Anyone? Yes? One or two? Well, it just keeps on going, doesn't it? And Niagara Falls keeps on, that doesn't ever run out. And that's like God's love. It's abounding. His love. Ours does run out, but God's does not. And then a God who relents from sending calamity, which is what happened. Nineveh was not destroyed. Now, Jonah, though, it gets really, really angry. And the Lord says to him, is it right for you to be angry about this? Now, God, he forgives. He's like the father in the story. You know the story? I was talking about two boys earlier. Well, I'm now thinking of the story in Luke 15 when there are two boys. One runs away and the other stays at home. The one that runs away, which we know as, are known as the prodigal son, the lost son, he comes back and really he deserved to be punished. He had offended his father. He deserved to be stoned in the village. He deserved probably to be killed. But his father doesn't send him the calamity. He forgives him. That's like God. Whereas here, Jonah is behaving like the older brother in the story of Luke 15. Jonah is grumpy and angry that God could dare to forgive Nineveh. I'd rather die than see you forgive that lot, he says. And God says to him, is it right for you to be angry? And do you know what happens when God asked him that question? I don't know if you noticed, but when God said to him in verse 4, is it right for you to be angry? What does Jonah reply? Nothing. He blanks God. Have you ever had that? You've asked someone a question, they just ignore you. He ignores God. He stonewalls God. I'm not even going to talk about it. And he goes off and sits under a shelter to sit it out, hoping for judgment to fall upon the city. Now, here's the challenge for us. Do we ever behave at all like this? Do you have people who've hurt you? I know I have. Do you have enemies? People who've maybe treated you a bit like an enemy or haven't been nice to you? And you get annoyed with them. Well, God, how do you feel when God wants to show grace to such people? How do you feel when people who've hurt you, God wants to show love to your enemies? This is what Jonah's going through. Or they're a threat to you. If anyone feels that someone's a threat to them, like Assyria was a threat, Jonah's having a problem with God showing love and grace to his enemies. But God says we're to love our enemies. Jesus said, love your enemies. I find this very challenging. When we've got an enemy, we can behave like Jonah. But the truth is that we were all enemies of God. All of us. But he forgave us on the cross. So we've got no right to say to God, you can't be nice to that person. You can't forgive that person. They've hurt me. I found that challenging. I've been hurt in my life. I think sometimes actually though, quickly to say, sometimes God allows an enemy to come and hurt you. Not he wants it, but he allows it. Because through that, you get to learn more of his grace. You get to learn things about yourself that you would never have learned if that person hadn't hurt you. Now, I know being hurt is horrible. Having an enemy is horrible. Getting criticized is horrible. But sometimes God allows it because what it does, it sort of helps you discover more of his heart and also helps you understand a bit of what you're like. Your friends, you see, will never tell you that you're horrible and smelly and nasty. Will they? Your friends, they're nice to you. Your friends will only say nice things about you. They'll cover up your faults, whereas an enemy will pick them out. But it reveals things. But Jonah is a challenge that we are to love our enemies. We are to not be annoyed when God shows grace to our enemies, when God is kind to our enemies. We're to love and pray for our enemies. And it's really hard, but Jonah is an example to us, a challenge. The other thing about Jonah I find challenging is he kind of looked down on these other people and got angry with them. Have you ever had that where you've got irritated with a particular group of people? I don't know if you've ever had that. It happened to me once. I was in Epsom and I saw there was an illegal encampment of travellers. And they had left litter everywhere. And it completely ruined the field. And I got really annoyed. And of course, they shouldn't have made a mess. But I started to kind of be a bit Jonah-like in my attitude. Oh, those people leaving all that rubbish over there. You know, they don't care. And instead of having compassion, we're supposed to have compassion on people. I once went to Thorpe Park. You know, Thorpe Park with all the roller coasters. Sheila told me she really wants to go on one of those roller coasters. but I went to Thorpe Park, right, and I was walking around my family, and there was loads of busloads of people from another religion. Okay? Now, I should have felt compassion. Oh, they need the Lord. But at that time, I felt like Jonah. I was going, what are they doing here? Promoting their religion that's not true. They should all repent. And Karina said, Simon, what is wrong with you? You Jonah boy. The only reason I share that is because we can all fall into this. And we need to say, Lord, give me a heart more like your heart of grace and compassion, who will love my enemies and pray for them and want to see people who are lost saved and want to share the good news with them. Give me a heart like Jesus, not like Jonah. Jesus' heart, not Jonah heart. That's the message this morning, if you can't remember all the stuff I say. Now, what comes next? Verses 5 to 9, God corrects Jonah. So he's had a kind of, he's seen that Nineveh hasn't been destroyed and he's getting really angry. But then God corrects him by putting him through some little circumstances which are designed to challenge him. The first circumstance, as you know, is that he makes a giant leafy plant grow over Jonah's head, which gives him shade. And God has his ways of correcting us, doesn't he, in life? And what's happening in this bit here is God is bringing Jonah back to his true position of being dependent. You know, God brings us back to being dependent on him. You know, Jonah realizes and recognizes that he's dependent. The Lord has given him this great big shady leaf to protect him. And he's dependent on God for the shade. And it's an act of kindness even to grumpy old Jonah. God is very kind even to Jonah and doesn't give up on him. Isn't that encouraging? God doesn't give up on you when you're cross and angry. But it's an act of kindness. Jonah was very happy with this plant. But then in verse 7, I don't know if you can see down the bottom there, there's a little worm that turns up and chews the plant and causes it to die. And behind all of this, God is working for Jonah's spiritual well-being. He's shaping him, he's correcting him, he's teaching him through an ordeal. And God uses circumstances and difficulties and disappointments to shape us into Christ-like character. Okay? And God is always in control of everything that happens to you, good or bad. You know, God, he was in control when the leaf came up. He was in control when the worm came along. God is sovereign. I want to encourage you. All that you go through, God is always in control. You know, God could control big things and small things. He controlled a big fish, a big storm. He could control a medium-sized thing, a plant. He could control a Mickey Mouse tiny thing, a worm. He can use everything. God is sovereign throughout the book of Jonah. God is always in control. He's always working for Jonah's good to teach him and correct him and show him what God's heart is like. Then at the end, once the plant dies and the sun comes and he gets sunburn on his head, he's so angry, he says this. God says to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said. I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. Oh, wow. Now, Jonah is behaving like a toddler, like a tantrum. You know, have you ever taken a toddler to a supermarket and seen, when we go past the sweet aisle and you don't give in, they go mental. One of my kids once even took some sweets. I'd take them back at the end of it because it wasn't paid for. Anyway, I won't say who. But the good news is that even though Jonah's still petty selfishness, and he hasn't got his priorities right, he doesn't care about all those people, he cares about a plant. You know, a plant is short-lived. The people of Nineveh will live for all eternity. They're people in God's image. He doesn't care about them, he cares about a plant. I don't know if, I shouldn't say this, but I wonder if some Christians, some of them care more about their garden than they do about their neighbours. Oh, my garden. Stuff the neighbours. The garden's important. The daffodils, they'll last a week. The neighbours, while they last for eternity, don't worry about them. It's not God's heart. Of course, keep your garden looking nice as well. But the good news is that God doesn't give up on Jonah. He doesn't say, Jonah, you are an absolute baby. I'm giving up on you. No, he keeps asking him questions. God is patient. Isn't that encouraging? God doesn't give up on us. And at times in my life, I've been very Jonah-like. God waits. He's not giving up. He waits and works. And I don't know if you remember last week, Tony quoted some poetry. I don't do that much, but he quoted a poet called Thomas Carlyle, who wrote a book called The poems called You, Jonah, saying how we can be like Jonah sometimes. And one poem struck me. I'll just read this one. It's very short. It says, and Jonah stalked to his shaded seat and waited for God to come round to his way of thinking. God is still waiting for a host of Jonahs in their comfortable houses to come around to his way of loving. Jonah was being corrected. And the last bit, we're nearly finished, is this. The last two verses, verses 10 and 11. God, what he does, he gives an explanation now to Jonah. This is like stage three. And the way he does it, he does what's called a compare and contrast. He compares what Jonah's like and contrasts it with what God is like. So, things like this. God asks him, look, if you're concerned about this little short-lived plant that you didn't create, but what about me? What about when things in my creation that I created are ruined? Like people, 120,000 people and their cattle as well. How do you think that affects me, Jonah? You need to learn what my character's like. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but in this passage, Jonah and God are polar opposites. They're compared and contrast. Compare and contrast. You know what, when you do an exam, compare and contrast. Well, let's look at Jonah and God a minute. Jonah is quick to anger. What does it say about God? God is slow to anger. Jonah wants to destroy Nineveh. What does it say about God? God relents from destruction. Jonah cares about a little silly plant. God, he cares about people who will last forever. Jonah is selfish and petty. God cares about what's important. And I just found that challenging, you know, and I want to ask this question to us as we close. I want to ask you these questions. What makes you happy? What makes you angry? So, what makes you happy? Well, often it's petty little things. You know, my garden's looking nice. I mean, the garden's important, okay, get it. But, you know, petty things. What makes you happy? I mean, Jonah was happy about the plant. What makes you angry? Often it can be petty little things in our lives. You know, like, I once got so angry. I mean, you probably won't want me as your pastor anymore, but I got so angry with my printer. This was a long time ago, I just want to add. I trust I've grown. But I got so angry, I jumped up and down on it and smashed it to pieces. Do you ever get angry over petty things? Little things? What made a bad day for Jonah? Oh, no sunshine. Hot day. Oh, why is the weather so hot? I've done that. Why is it so hot here, Lord? Can't you make it cold? You know. Petty things, selfish things. And the challenge to Jonah is, God, let's think about God's heart. What makes God happy? And what makes God angry? I'll tell you. One thing makes God happy is when people turn from their evil way. When Nineveh turned, you know, it says in the Bible, I think somewhere in Luke 15, it says that the Lord, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. There's a party in heaven when one person turns. So what matters to God and makes God happy is when people hear the good news and when they turn. That's what really makes God happy. You know, do you want to make God happy? Throw a party. Well, you share the good news with people. I know it's not easy, but pray for them. Share over time, over the years, so that they will come to that place where they turn and repent, because that's what makes God happy. When there's a party in heaven over one sinner who repents. And what makes God angry? It's not petty things. What makes God angry is when people don't turn. And I don't know if you know, but later on in the Bible, a next generation of Nineveh do get judged because they refuse to turn. In the book of Nahum. But for now, God is showing mercy. And the challenge is this. We must be less reluctant, and I'm talking to myself first, to tell people and to try and share the good news. Because the thing that makes God happy is when they turn to him. The thing that makes him angry is when they don't. And we need to be less reluctant in sharing the good news with people. We need to be having this kind of priority in our heart, this heart of compassion, this heart of grace, this heart that wants to show mercy. Because this is what our God is like. People who are our neighbours, they've got time. We've got time to repent. You know, Jonah, when he went there, he said, you've got 40 days. You know, it wasn't tomorrow. God gives time to change. And the people to whom we go to, the judgment for them is delayed. Because God wants to show mercy. Okay, I'm going to close with this last slide. This is really the prayer I think we should all be praying. And me first of all. Lord, please help me not be a Jonah. Help me grow in your compassion. Help me grow in your mercy and grace, becoming more like Jesus. That's really the simple prayer today. Lord, make me more like Jesus. Less like Jonah. Jesus, not Jonah. Because I want to just finish by saying, think about Jonah a minute. Jonah went outside the city. Why? To sulk. Jesus, when he was outside a city, what did he do? Jerusalem, he wept over it. Compassion. Jonah, when he went outside a city, sat there to watch it be judged. Jesus, when he went outside a city, he hung on a cross for its salvation, the salvation of the city. So that's God's heart. Lord, make me more like Jesus' heart, not like Jonah.